up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. We frequently hear from people in the cities and larger rural areas about issues that affect people who are blind or vision impaired. However, we very rarely hear from people in smaller rural communities. And I thought today we'd remedy that. Jason Baker owns a dairy farm in the Coffs Harbour area, and he spoke recently at the New South Wales State Convention of Blind Citizens Australia.
I have a condition called RP. There'd be a lot of people in the room who would be familiar with that. I have 6% sight in my right eye, which is all centralised, and my left eye wishes it was that good. I live in Cross McGlen, live in the Coffs Harbour Shire, and in the hinterland there, my wife and I and our three daughters operate 400 cow dairy. It's been a family tradition in the Bake family. We first moved to the Coffs Harbour area in 1908. We've been farming on the same block. I'm the fourth generation dairy farmer. We've been farming on the same block for whatever that is, 108 years. There's seen an awful lot of changes in that time. We have one, two, three full-time staff, one permanent part-time and two casuals throughout different times of the year. So there's a lot of stuff that we need to do with organisation of staff and just the running, smooth running of the farm. I'm extremely lucky with the staff that we have, that they're all trades qualified in another field. So they bring that other expertise of what they used to do into our dairy business. So that makes it a lot more robust and makes it a lot easier to run in our situation. I want to do a little bit of walking and stuff, and I've entered in a few endurance events around the Gold Coast over the last couple of years, and also the Overland Track in Tasmania. I walked that probably 4 years ago with my eldest daughter, who was then 12. She was my sighted guide for 65 kilometres. Walked the Kokoda Track in 2011 and wore out about four sighted guides along there. It was pretty heavy going, that one, but we'll come back. We'll touch on a little bit more on that later on in the recreation session, because the walking's something that I do to de-stress from farming, because farming's pretty heavy duty a lot of time. Also, last year, a mate and I both put in the ballot to go to the 2016 Gallipoli service in Turkey, and I didn't get it, but he did, so he took me, which was a pretty big thing. I mean, you know, you're going to the other side of the world and you're taking a bloke who can't see, so it was it was very entertaining, to say the least. A lot of the stuff that we like the Kokoda Track and the Gallipoli stuff. I mean, I don't know whether there's anyone been and seen those sorts of places, but I've never felt so humble in all my life to be able to go there and experience what it is, and, you know, I suppose absorb yourself, I guess, in the atmosphere that it is, and to be able to try and get a better understanding of what happened, what went on, that sort of stuff, and it makes you feel very proud to be Australian to start with, and then, you know, actually, like I said, it's extremely humbling, to the point where you just think, you know, you've heard about it, you've read about it, you've listened to stuff about it, and you think, you know, Jesus, really, did this happen here? Yeah, there were a couple of very, very, very moving types of experiences that I've had in the last couple of years. I hope to do a lot more walking in the years to come. I got the cane training from guide dogs in New South Wales ACT. I got the cane training when I was 38, which was 8 years ago. Previous to that, I knew, well, obviously I was diagnosed with RP at 25. They promptly took my licence away, which was probably a good thing, looking back. It was actually, the diagnosis was on my lovely wife and I, our first wedding anniversary. It was on the 18th of June 1995. So that was bit of mixed emotion on that day. But over time, as my sight gradually deteriorated, I used various methods of negotiating around places that I needed to go, like a pram when the kids were little. You know, I always pushed the pram and everybody gets out of the road of a pram. There's no one stands in the road of somebody pushing the pram. It was fantastic. It was just like, yeah, it was like it parted the Red Sea and people just moved. It was great. But, you know, when the kids got to about seven, they didn't want to get in the pram anymore, so... Probably not quite seven, but I made the decision. Michelle and I spoke about going to guide dogs and me getting some cane training, so we went along there and was absolutely fantastic. I had my first lesson and then went out to Agquip in Gunnedah after my first lesson with the cane, and I thought I was the bee's knees. And came back and got a lot more training and since had iPhone training and so forth, which really helped me out and really built my confidence. The 2011 trek in Kokoda was a fundraiser for guide dogs to say thank you. I think we raised $36,000 and trained one dog. There was 13 of us in the group. Everyone pulled their weight. It was fantastic. But I have seen changes in Coffs Harbour as there's more... I'm more aware of things now. Obviously, before I wasn't aware of, you know, what the tactiles were, what they meant, the pedestrian crossing type stuff. You take a lot more notice of that sort of stuff now, obviously. Whenever there's new areas go in Coffs, especially around the CBD and so forth, there's a lot that stuff just goes in, you know, straight away, which it's really good to see. And one interesting thing about that, any Shire Council can take heed to this. When we're over in Turkey, we're at Istanbul, and we're at a motel that was about probably 3.5 kilometres from the Grand Bazaar and the spice markets. And the mate who went over there with me, we walked those 3.5 kilometres down to the Grand Bazaar to have a look around. And the entire way down on the footpath that we walked on was directional tactiles. 3.5 kilometres from out, right outside the motel, right to the door of the Grand Bazaar. 3.5. I'd never seen anything like it. I just put, well, you know how to use them. You put the cane in, away you go. And everybody over there, like, you know, foreign country and all that sort of stuff, but everybody knew exactly what they were. And they'd see you coming with the cane and it was just, everyone would just hop straight out of the road. It was brilliant. You never see that anywhere around Australia. You get 35 metres, you're doing pretty well in some places. Okay, the question was, can we talk about the training for how we did Kokoda, as in the methods and so forth? Because of the fact that I've only got a tiny little tunnel vision in my right eye, my brother-in-law and I did an extensive amount of training in the mountains around Coffs here, which from where our farm is about 300 metres and you're straight up into the mountains. He wore a reflective sock protector on his right ankle, because at 2 paces in front, the size of a sock protector is my entire field of view. So I followed that sock protector for 96 kilometres uphill, down dale, bloody blah, everywhere. And we developed a sense, it was very, I suppose, cerebral, I guess, to start with, because we're both left-handed and both right-footed. So we thought the same and moved the same, for the want of a better way of putting it. If we were coming to a part where we had to step down, like a big step down when we were training, he'd instinctively turn to the right and step down with his left foot first, which is exactly the same way I do it. So I'd be looking at his sock protector, and instead of the sock protector moving, as in taking a step, you'd see it move a different way. So you knew that, as he was saying, big step down, he was turning to the right. That's basically how we did it. And everybody that was one of my sighted guides were up there, they all had the same coloured fluoro sock protector on the same ankle. And we all basically, they all had the same sort of training. Some people, instead of giving you instructions, they'd give you the instructions that they shouldn't be saying, like, don't step left. And when you did step left, there was actually nothing under your feet.
Yeah.
We had that happen a couple of times. Nearly ended up in the creek. But that's the exact same sort of method that we've used in all the trekking that I've done since then. When my daughter was my sighted guide in Tasmania, she wore the sock protector on her right ankle, and just as quick as she could walk, she'd talk and up and down the mountains and tell me everything that was in front of me, everything I needed to know. And, you know, 12-year-old, that's pretty good. And she's gone on. We do a lot of trekking together now. And my two younger daughters, who I believe are at the back of the room with my wife Michelle, they're just starting to get into it now. That might be a surprise to them, but probably news to them. But no, we're actually entering a team next year in an event in Toowoomba. Myself and my three daughters, Hannah, Danica, and Georgia. I think we're going to call ourselves the Four Feral Farmers or something like that.
You're probably the first dairy farmer I've ever met with a vision impairment. And my question for you is, what sort of challenges did you find working on the farm and how did you overcome them?
Because of the fact that with RP, my sight loss has been fairly gradual. I was diagnosed with a condition at 25, declared medically blind at 32. And as the condition has been gradually getting worse, and obviously it will continue to get worse, I've just been reassessing all the time. Like, you know, I still do 8 or 10 milkings a week now, but I gauge where the cow is based out of the tiny little hole that I've got inside in one eye, and gradually that'll cut out. But, you know, years ago I used to do all the tractor work and all that sort of stuff, and as the sight gradually got worse, I thought, well, you know, it's becoming a hazard for me doing this now. So I rejigged all the staff duties and all the stuff that I did on the farm and employed a permanent tractor driver because I knew I could no longer do that task. It's a matter of not getting confused between your ambitions and your capabilities. I mean, you've got the ambition to do absolutely everything, but seriously, I don't have the capability to do 70 or 80% of the tasks that are carried out day to day on the farm because it's just a health hazard to me and the people around me. So gradually, as my sight worsens, I go through and, you know, cross certain jobs off the list that I know that I can no longer do and, you know, might move sideways into something else that I know I've got another person doing and just rejig their work, their job description sort of thing. And with the staff that we've got, they're all exceptional employees. They just don't mind. Everybody understands. They understand what I can and can't do. So in that respect, it's exceptional having the people there to be able to back you up and stuff. And you know that if you know in your own heart you can't do it and you go and do it, somebody's going to come and help you anyway. And that makes all the difference. It's not necessarily me telling people what they will and won't do. It's we all work together as a team, and there's people actually get ownership of the particular task, I suppose. They've actually empower them to make the decision as well, which works really well. As soon as you can get somebody else to make a decision, especially if it's the way you want it made, makes everything a lot easier, yeah.
And I find that story particularly interesting because I spent many of my formative years on farms and orchards, etc. So we'll hear more from Jason in next week's program. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company this week on New Horizons. Do join me again at the same time next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to contact Blind Citizens Australia, email them on bca@bca.org.au or give them a call on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. The website, of course, has all the information you could want, so have a look there if you're interested. Take care until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.